Hey everybody, we're going to continue with Jesus' sermon on the bread, and I'm going to pick up today in John chapter 6, starting in verse 35 and read to 50. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." So this is just a wonderful passage. And remember, it continues this theme of the Exodus. And remember all the ways in which John and Jesus himself are referring to the Exodus. Just one incidental that I just noticed as I read is, notice that they grumble, that Jesus says he's the bread that came down from heaven. Well, that grumbling, that's the same word for complaining that the Israelites did in the wilderness. So we see a replaying of what went on in the wilderness. But of course, Jesus continues on this theme. And he said, well, God's going to give this bread. And then he ultimately says, "I am the bread." And just a few things. First, note that when Jesus says, "I am" in the Gospel of John, most of the time he is referring to Exodus 3:14 when God says his name is I am. This is the first statement where Jesus says, "I am," and then attaches some significance to it. So in this case, it's, "I am the bread of life. I am that which truly satisfies." So there's so much in these passages, and I would encourage, my little talks here are meant mainly to be tools for helping you go read again. So the reading and the reading aloud and the listening and the coming to Jesus in these words is the real work. And these are hopefully just tools for helping us do that. So I want to draw out three things from this passage. The first is that Jesus says, those who come to me, or I think a good translation would be those simply coming to me, I will give life. The thing I want to stress here is how straightforwardly and simply Jesus teaches us to receive eternal life. And it is simply come. If you think about all the ways Jesus has put this in the gospel, come, ask, and I'll give it to you. Trust me, be learning to trust me, look to me, look to the Son. It is this amazing, unbelievable, and straightforwardly simple invitation to receive something beyond measure, beyond price. Jesus says, simply come. And he, I think, in saying he is the bread of life, is saying that he is that for which all human beings most truly long. We long for all kinds of things, but in, I would say, almost everything we long for, behind that longing is the true longing, is a deeper longing. And we make idols when we think that a thing, a created thing, has life in and of itself. And Jesus simply says, "I am that for which all human beings most truly long, and to have me, to receive me, simply come. I will give myself to you entirely. Give yourself to me entirely." It's astounding that the requirements are that simple. And it's astounding how many forms this simply coming to Jesus can take. It can be a very simple, unadorned prayer. It can be simply a thought towards him as we do other things. It can be when we gather together as people in church, or when we gather together in home group, or when we read his word. But that's what he's inviting us to do. In everything we do and everywhere we go, we can simply be coming to him and looking to him and growing in trust of him. And I think it's hard sometimes for us to believe that, to believe how simple and straightforward it is. But I think Jesus is trying to underline that. And again, I would say this invitation is parallel to his invitation when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest to your souls." He is saying, "I am meek and warm-hearted, and I will simply give." And it is our own unbelief that keeps us from laying hold of that simple invitation in everything we do. Notice too, here's the second thing, that he gives a pretty stern warning. He says essentially, you guys are seeing, but you're not seeing. And this is sort of a repeated theme. I think, notice this, that in this sermon, Jesus feeds 5,000 men miraculously. And at the end of the sermon, he's left with, we don't know how many, maybe it's just the 12. But let's just say it's more than the 12. Maybe it's 120 that were left at the end of his ministry. That's like 2.5% of the crowd that he did the miracle for and preached to. And it would be easy for us, I think, in these circumstances to think, what a failure. I think Jesus is teaching us a couple of things. One, you can be in the presence of Jesus and experience something miraculous from him and still not trust him. And that is why he doesn't give them the sign, because he had already given a sign, and now they're demanding a sign. It is also, as we said before, because they're trying to make Jesus into their version of God or their version of a Messiah to satisfy their limited understanding of what is good and right. And he wants to say, no, if you come to me, you trust me to give you so much better than you can ever imagine on your own terms. But they don't do it. So I think this is a warning that 5,000 people saw a miracle. 5,000 people heard these gracious and powerful and beautiful words, and very few of them ultimately continued to come to Jesus and continued to trust in him. And then the final point I would like to make out of this section is that Jesus has great confidence in the Father. He seems to know that it is not really his job to kind of compel people to come or force people to come. He is clearly inviting, and he is clearly working to demonstrate the Father's heart and the Father's character. But ultimately, he's not troubled by the apparent failures of his ministry. He trusts the Father to bring people. He trusts the Father to be doing a work in people's hearts by the Holy Spirit and bringing them to it. He sees his job as doing his part and then trusting the Father with the outcomes. And I think this is very difficult for us. But it is our call, it is our responsibility to find out what our job is, to simply proclaim the unadorned gospel, to simply try to demonstrate it in the lives that we live together, and to trust the Father that he is working, that he is talking to people, that he is speaking to people. Jesus, when they say, well, you know, when they challenge him, he doesn't really defend himself. He doesn't use arguments. He doesn't use what we might call apologetics. He trusts that all the ones who will come, the Father is working in their hearts, and the Father will bring them to him. And I think this is such a crucial way of living. I believe Jesus walked around the earth believing that his Father was at work everywhere and at all times talking to people, and somehow mysteriously working in their hearts to make available to them parts of the gospel so that when they saw the full thing, they could respond fully to it. And so I think that, again, my challenge on this one would be that we need to be not confident in our eloquence, in our perfection of communicating the gospel, in our plans and efforts to share the gospel. We need to trust that the Father is communicating to all hearts, and that the Son himself came down, and that the Holy Spirit is doing a work of conviction. Certainly, we need to find out what our part is and do it. But more than that, when we have done our part, we need to trust all outcomes to the Father. And when you can really trust outcomes to the Father, it leads to a life of real peace and trust. So may we be a people who, like in the song, simply trust, simply come to Him, simply turn to Him at every opportunity. May we be a people who are the few that really do want to continue trusting Him and are not offended at things He says that we don't easily or automatically understand. And may we learn to trust the Father, to do our part, but then trust all outcomes to the Father, believing that He's doing a work and that ultimately it is God and His coming into the world that draws all men to Himself. Amen.